The man chained to one iron leg of a heavy marble bench had no idea where he was or who he was. He had no idea that he had been born in Berlin, Germany, as Otto Richter, or that he had taken on a new identity while still in his teens, becoming Jim Connolly, and had gone on to carve out a wonderful life for himself in Spokane, Washington. For the moment, Jim Connolly knew nothing. He was a creature of pure sensation and no reason. He only knew that he felt a cool, hard floor beneath him, a smooth wall at his back, and heavy iron cuffs around his wrists, while the rest of his towering mind struggled to reorient itself back to a universe of only three spatial dimensions. He couldn't conjure up either of his two identities if his life depended on it, which might soon be the case, especially if he couldn't recall the reason he was presently in chains. It never even occurred to him to wonder when he was. And this was perhaps the most important question of all. Bits and pieces of consciousness and memory returned. He squeezed his eyes shut even tighter as he fought for understanding. His mind, perhaps the sharpest in human history, was strangely blunted, and what he would normally have assimilated in an instant took him several long seconds to process. Jim Connolly barely managed to stifle a gasp as he finally remembered that he had traveled into the past, and that loss of consciousness and extreme disorientation were expected results. Not that he had any personal experience. This was his first time-traveling journey, and he intended to return to the future as soon as possible and make it his last. He began to remember more of his life. As Otto Richter, he had been a scientific prodigy, torn from his family and home in Berlin when he was 16, and pressed into service on the highest-profile superweapons program Hitler's Third Reich had ever undertaken. But those days were long past, and he had been Jim Connolly, the American, for far longer than he had been Otto Richter. So long, in fact, that he couldn't recall the last time he thought or even dreamed in German. He desperately wanted to travel through time again, immediately, and get this episode behind him, but he realized he needed to fully recover before doing so. But how much time would be sufficient? Perhaps the AI embedded in the cube-shaped alien object, whose limitless power had brought him to this time, could offer guidance. It was often maddeningly unhelpful, but since he was only asking a simple question relating to his personal health, he had high hopes it would answer. "Cube AI," he called out with his thoughts, trying to get its attention. He had taken to calling it Trek in the future, but this version wouldn't yet know that. "Where am I exactly, and how much recovery time would you recommend before I jump again?" Connolly waited to hear its telepathic response in his head, but after several seconds, there was nothing. It often refused to supply answers, but it always at least acknowledged his questions. "Cube AI, please respond," he thought at the alien AI once again, mentally screaming the words with all the strength he could muster. There was still no reply, which meant only one thing. The cube wasn't in his immediate vicinity. Experience had taught him that the onboard AI wouldn't converse telepathically if he was greater than 50 yards away from it. He had no doubt that it could do so. In fact, he wouldn't have been totally shocked to learn that it could receive and transmit thoughts from the other side of the galaxy. But the things it could do and the things it would do were often quite different, as it obeyed complex and often inscrutable programming. At least this refusal to allow long-distance communication was a rule that made some sense to him.